dishwasher in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to a decade-long legacy of bringing you breaking news before it makes the news. Broadcasting live from the studios of Scared Monkeys Radio Network via C-band satellite W3-957, Access Communications Channel 7, and worldwide via digital streaming audio at ScaredMonkeysRadio.com, it's the Dana Pretzer Show. And now, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, welcome everyone. Tonight we have Blink from Blink on Crime to continue on with our Anthony trial analysis. Say that three times real fast. And of course, her at blinkoncrime.com, her latest story here, her latest post is called The Fumble Rooski. Now say that three times real fast. How you doing, kiddo?
I'm well, Dana. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. There are rumors floating around the internet, and we all know that the internet is full of rumors that you are Cindy Anthony's fashion consultant. Is that true?
Do you hear that sound?
Yeah, I know. I hear.
It's the sucking vortex death of my career.
What the hell happened? What was she wearing? I'm seeing more posts about that than the trial today.
I have to say, you know, for me, it was typical Cindy wear. I've never really seen her as the, you know, stylista or fashionista. It was just some sort of what you never wear on court when it's televised nationally dress.
Oh, okay.
White, you know, floral number. Easily hideable in a crowd.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, before we get to Fumble Rooski, let's talk about the other thing I'm seeing is her testimony, and there's a lot of people ticked off about it. What did she say?
Well, I think that it wasn't so much what she said. I think what Linda Drain Burdick was doing was necessary. I think that they needed to impeach their own witness.
Okay.
And have that on the record.
Sure.
You know, Cindy, I think, and, well, as we know, George, have come to the realization that Casey, in my opinion, is not a well girl.
Right.
I don't think, they think that she murdered Kaylee, but as you know, I believe now that something happened, you know, in their mind is presumptively an accident of some kind. So they're not going to want to see her fry for that.
No.
And I think so that they're married to these original statements that they made when, in their minds, they really believed in Zanny or another person or some other, you know, universal forces were responsible other than their own daughter. And I think that is coming back to haunt them so much. So the state has to really impeach them so that in the defense's case, and when they put on their defense, and they will, that has been confirmed, you know, they don't make an issue out of it. I don't think anybody thought Cindy was going to turn around, you know, and malign Casey.
No.
But I do think and I agree with you, the reaction, at least from the readers, was a little bit like, see, told you, you know, same old Cindy. But I didn't anticipate anything else. I think that they are standing by Casey, even though she's making these, you know, outlandish, allegations, and George isn't going to take it. He's proven that. But I've also heard their attorney Lipman say that they understand the process, and to me, the translation is they're not going to take, you know, they're not going to say that, you know, Cindy specifically isn't going to say, yeah, I think I might have left the ladder down. And George isn't going to say, yeah, I abused her. That's why she has post-traumatic stress disorder.
Exactly.
But
yeah,
they're not going to, you know, deliver her to the electric chair either.
Yeah. No, exactly. Blink from Blink on Crime is here, blinkoncrime.com. Her recent posting, The Fumble Rooski, is one to read and understand. And I'm throwing the ball to you. Don't fumble Rooski it.
I'm sorry, what?
Don't fumble Rooski the story. What are you talking about when it comes to Fumble Rooski?
Well, the reaction is, and it's a fair one in general from readers, the state is resting tomorrow.
Yep.
And it's somewhat anticlimactic and somewhat vanilla, if you will. Not what you would expect to see in a trial with this much notoriety and this much, you know, public attention. And my take on that is absolutely the state has done a masterful job at understanding what the defense tactics are going to be, and they have withheld witnesses specifically to allow the defense to present their defense and do what they need to do in the rebuttal phase, as opposed to, you know, the direct, the prosecution's case. And as it relates to a fumble Ruski, the onus being, you know, the 1984 Orange Bowl with Nebraska, and that play that has been banned from all college ball as a result, effectively, you know, has the quarterback setting the, you know, the ball on the ground so that the, you know, lineman can surreptitiously pick it up and remain unchallenged heading into the end zone. And that was my analogy to what I believe the prosecution's strategy is. I think people are going nuts, going, oh my God, I don't know, is she going to get off? Like, I'm not seeing a first-degree murder conviction as this case was presented. And I would agree with them if I didn't feel that this team is worthy of patience from us and worthy of the benefit of the doubt. And I don't like to eat my words, so they better be.
Well, you know, when you look at the witness lists, and Blink from Blink on Crime is here, and you look at the defense witness list, and that all changes. We all know how trials work, and the talk is now, let me put my Wendy Murphy hat on and say to you, and say to you, now, wouldn't that be scary? Has the, now, of course, I almost said Crown. I'm up here in Canada. Has the prosecution actually proven, they've proven that that Kaylee died? They've proven, you know, they brought in their forensics, and they brought in, you know, as far as impugning her credibility, that's easy enough to do. But have they actually proved that Casey Anthony had killed Kaylee Anthony?
I think that they've proven, and proven is a strong word at this juncture,
yeah.
I think that they've proven that it could not have been anyone else. And when we're talking about a capital case, they're going to need to do better, in my opinion. You're leaving jurors with a lot of room to connect their own dots and speculate and work things out in deliberations. And typically, that is not what you want as a prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
You want them to go into those deliberations, as a first step, analyzing all of the evidence as it was presented and forming an opinion pretty soundly. You know, that's traditionally what you're going to want, especially if you think you've put on a strong case. So, in my mind, they've done a tremendous job making sure that it's clear that, you know, all the faces of Casey and all of the evidence points to it could not have been any other person, specifically with the heart sticker today, again.
Exactly.
However, I really believe, I'm going back to what I'm saying, I think that they know that Jose Baez and Chaney Mason are going to put on a defense that is going to befuddle people and make allegations that they will not be able to substantiate, and the rebuttal case, which is the prosecution getting the last word, is going to unravel that pretty quickly and effectively nail the coffin of Casey Anthony. I really believe strongly they know what they're doing.
Blink from Blink on Crime is here. Yeah, I've called it the who's on first defense. Those that remember Abbott on Costello, who's on first, what's on second, they're going to get up and they'll fumble their way through. But it's hard to say, let's talk about this, and people are going to read your post at blinkoncrime.com, the Fumble Ruski post about the sidebar. Let's talk about that a little bit. I chuckled when I read that.
Well, I'm guessing that Judge Perry, either he is not remembering sidebars are public,
yeah.
and wishes he could take that back. Not that he was wrong. he was not. But it's typically, when you hear that from a judge, I mean, out and out calling them liars, and he did,
mm-hmm.
it's a bad sign.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And Chaney Mason, I don't even know what that was about. I have no idea why he would call the sidebar, and they were already in theory, I actually agreed with them. I would not have called the sidebar. I probably would have objected.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he was trying to affect was that the jury should not feel that they are, that it is incumbent upon them or necessary for them to present a defense at all. So, in Chaney Mason's world, he was saying, you know, you tipped our hat, so to speak. And I agree in theory that the judge should not be forthcoming in that, with the exception that the defense already committed to it. So what was gained by, you know, basically alienating Judge Perry further, and now you have a jury that's watching the sidebar going on, going, what's that about? After the judge tried to give them some tentative timelines, you know, these people just want to go home.
Yeah.
So why are you going to, you know, can I say pee them off?
Sure.
You know, why do that? Why not, you know, he's just in some ways what I would call antagonistic.
Yep.
And I don't think it benefits his client. I don't think it benefits his case. I don't think it benefits him. And I don't think it benefits the jury.
Blink from Blink on Crime is here. Since we last met last week, let's do a little capsule of what we saw, what we heard, and analyze that.
Well, I got to say, if I'm going to pick the most impactful witness, it's got to be Dr. G, medical examiner, 9th District, Jan Garvalia, and her kind of showdown with Chaney Mason, where he was basically trying to discredit her, saying, you know, you don't know how this child died, so the child could have drowned, could have this, could have that. And in a very effective way, she said, look, you know, we analyze, you know, circumstances. 100% of the child drownings, since you brought that up as an example, and 100% of the time in an accidental drowning, the parents called 911 or sought help, for starters. And that, to me, is going to weigh so heavily on a jury, because his response was, well, what if you come upon an obviously dead child? Well, as a parent, you know, probably in shock, you're not necessarily, the natural reaction is that you're not necessarily thinking, oh, this child is positively dead. You're thinking, I have to save them, mm-hmm. regardless of how deceased they may or may not appear. And again, I have to say, if she was as deceased, you know, what are we talking, like a day? It doesn't make any sense. The dogs hit in the backyard. They didn't hit near the pool, not within 8 feet of the pool, and the yard's not that big. So that's a stretch. But it didn't hit in the pool either. So somebody would need to explain to me how she was deceased enough to cause final alerts from two different dogs in the backyard, none of which were near the pool or in the pool.
Blink from Blink on Crime is here. We're analyzing the last week of the, not the last week, but what's gone on in the past week of the Anthony trial. You know, let's call him Jose Mistrial Baez. And all the pundits and all the news shows and all the cable shows and everything, I see that tide starting to turn a little bit, except poor Geraldo. I guess he needs to have a friend. But everyone keeps talking, and I keep talking about this and how he's kind of bumbled his way through this. Let's talk about the prosecution is going to rest, the defense is going to get up. We've touched on it a little bit. How much do you think Baez will handle when it comes to the actual presentation of the defense?
Most of it. That you know, his ego is taller than him. He's I think maybe 5'4". Seriously? No, I mean that sincerely.
Because
my very good friend Mark Dejame, who will tell you up and down, hey, I'm only 5'4".
Yeah.
Whatever that has to do with anything, I don't know, but he's actually shorter than Mark.
Really? Okay, I didn't
know that.
Yes,
he is. So, for whatever that's worth, he really, you know, I said this to you once before, I have to say, in some aspects, he's improved greatly by being around some of the greatest legal minds that have since quit this defense, mm-hmm. by the way. Case in point, Linda Kenny Bodden signed on to In Session.
No, really? Okay.
Oh, yes.
I hadn't heard that.
How do you like the fact that a consultant to this defense is now going to be a pundit covering the defense's case in chief, if you will, for In Session? Can you say disclosure?
Yeah, I don't know.
If the JAC is paying a bill for her services, we're going to have a major problem.
You know, I don't know. I'm just tongue-tied when it comes to that. And seeing Michael Bodden on the shows with her, and he says his wife can't comment, but he certainly can. And we all know that. I'm sure he did some consultation too. But I want to bring up Henry Lee, who guested on my program, and I can remember his upset with me when I asked him a question about Casey Anthony 2 years ago. He's been involved in this case for some time. He's going to be a good witness for them. Your thoughts?
My knowledge is he's not testifying for them.
Oh, really? Okay.
To my knowledge, he refused. Well, he was engaged or retained, first of all, and what happened was, to my knowledge, he was not going to provide a report when Judge Perry ordered that all expert witnesses had to produce a report with their findings and exactly what they would be testifying to, unless it was contained in the deposition. You know, those two things had to jive, if you will.
Sure.
That Dr. Lee was not going to be working on this case further because the JAC would not be accommodating his expenses. Because Jose Baez and Cheney Mason are privately retained, even if now they proclaim to be working pro bono, the judge said, well, you know, the experts are coming out of your pocket.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, even though he was going to work for a case of oranges, I guess they had a bad season, and that's not going to be enough.
Jeez. No, I haven't seen the defense list lately. I've seen the original one. I'm sure it's been amended. Let's throw out some names that are on there.
Well, I can tell you that Dr. Haskell was subpoenaed, you know, basically as he left the witness stand.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And, you know, just to touch on that for a second, Dana, I think he was underutilized in the prosecution's case. I think, and again, it goes to the fumble Ruski, because I know he's going to be called, but some of the things that he was a baseline, flatline kind of testifying, some of the things he testified to are so significant, but I don't really see anybody making a big deal out of it. I don't know how that played to the jury. What he basically testified to, without spelling it out, is Kaylee was moved. And I've said this to you from the beginning. I believe she was put in the playhouse or underneath the sandbox for a few days. The Anthonys told Casey that they were going to be doing the backyard yard work the week that Cindy was off, and she panicked. You know, in the meantime, Casey was looking at options as to where to discard her. I believe she retrieved her, put her in the trunk. Sadly, I think that resulted in the decomposition fluid spill, and I literally believe that the stench was so overpowering she got two blocks, and that's why Kaylee ended up where she was. She just freaked out.
Uh-huh.
And in Dr. Haskell's testimony, he's basically saying that, you know, not to get all scientific on you, but what he's saying is that the blowflies that you would see in early colonization, early decomposition, were not found in the trunk. And while there was some later evidence of them under the liner, which... again, wasn't, I don't think, pointed to specifically enough by the prosecution, and I'm certain that's strategic, but he was saying she had to be in an anaerobic environment such as the bags, etc., and she could have only been in the trunk for a maximum of 3 to 5 days. Well, if you do the math, that's telling you that she had to, and the state believes she died on the 16th of June, that's telling you we have a gap.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the state needs to be, and I do believe they will, connect those dots for the jury. I don't think you can leave them saying, well, hey, that doesn't make sense. You know, she's only in there 3 to 5 days, but he thinks she was in the woods by, you know, June 24th. Where was she from now till then? Because, you know, there was very little entomological evidence found within the trunk. Was it cleaned? Yes. But there was no evidence presented that it was cleaned. So those are things that I believe have to be tied together for this jury a little more solidly, and I do believe that they will in the rebuttal phase, or simply, you know, do what I think that they are planning to do, and that's let Jose Baez present what he's going to present and rebut what is BS, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, obviously, George and Cindy are on the list. Cindy may be the first one that testifies. Where do you see that going?
South. I think they'll malign them. I think that, you know, he will say, you know, you're the master of, you know, the lie factory that is the Anthony home. You know, you enabled her, you stood by while George did this. What I'll say specifically, and Madeline Tanner, one of our editors, brought this to my attention today, and I thought about it when it was being testified to, but the ages that Jose Baez gave of Casey with regard to possible sexual abuse from George were the ages 8 and 13. So if I had to guess, I'm thinking that there are some school records or some incidents, if you will,
mm-hmm.
that are going to correlate to that, that he's going to draw upon. And also, I want to remind everybody that there is something in George's past that I believe is going to come out,
mm-hmm.
because in his jail visit to Casey, he said to her, and this was prior to her bond hearing, he said to her, when I did that thing and I had to go before the judge, and it was all taken care of. And I haven't really heard anything about that. I believe they'll bring that out.
Well, that's going to be interesting. Quick question from a listener. Will Baez have to pay Haskell before he testifies?
No.
No, I know.
No, but that was a valid question. Yeah. And to your listener's point, one of the things that Dr. Haskell, I'm fascinated. You know, between him and Voss, I don't know. I could just spend all day with both of them. I don't like bugs. We talked about this before, but I worked really hard at understanding his work and his former casework, etc. What I think happened in, I mentioned the Van Damme case,
yeah.
also happened a little bit in his testimony this Saturday. He was, in my opinion, overly glib and a bit confrontational or snark, if you will, with Jose Baez, a bit editorial, and I don't think there's room for that. If I had to make a criticism of him as a witness, I'd be willing to bet that the prosecution was sitting there thinking, look, it's, you know, saying, nice to see you again, Mr. Baez, you know, wasn't lost on anybody. And the whole, I sent you a bill, you didn't pay me, you know, to me it was overly fratness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, listen, we're doing this in front of a jury. We can't know what they're thinking. And anybody that says they can is lying.
Yeah, no, exactly.
We just don't know. So from that perspective, yes, no, he doesn't need to get paid, and that's my kind of side comment about his testimony.
Of course, I've asked you this before, and I ask every guest that comes on when we talk about this case, and I'm going to ask you again because we're getting closer to it. Will Casey take the stand?
No.
Yeah.
I know that people, she has to, for this defense to have a shelf life of 5 minutes, she absolutely has to take the stand. Will she? Of course not.
No.
I'll tell you why. Here's how this question is going to go. Ms. Anthony, have you ever been convicted of a felony?
Yeah.
Yes. How many? Six. What for? this is... Oh, and what's the other thing? Did you participate in the disposal of your child? Something to those lines, because improper burial is not a, is a misdemeanor,
right,
if chargeable at all in Florida, which is what I had said to you I think they're always going to.
Right.
So out of the gate, she's going to admit she is convicted of six felonies when you have a jury that has this has been kept from so far, never happened.
No. Yeah.
They're not going to overcome that.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Listen, we've got 2 minutes left before we go to the psychologist, and we're going to bring on Dale Archer to talk about the psychology of the Anthonys. We're going to analyze the heck out of them. But 2 minutes of what we are going to see in the next week before I bring you back on the show again.
In a word, cronk.
Exactly.
Will be cronked.
Okay.
And everybody else will be cronked. It's going to be a parade of... not what you would think. If he was smart, what he would do would be to put on the experts and let them do battle. Because, frankly, you know, the state's experts were meticulous, but they were soft. There was no, it was just kind of informational, if you will. And there needs to be an exclamation point on some of this. Because, like it or not, you're going to need to evoke some emotion to get people to the point where Casey Anthony is, you know, worthy of the death penalty.
Yep.
Let's face it. You know, nobody wants to say this. Everybody wants to talk the legal jargon, and that's fair. But the reality is the jury consultants on the background, they understand this. And I think you're going to see, you know, George being maligned. I think they're going to try to torque him, you know, like wet logs.
Get him fired up. Yep.
And I don't think it's going to work. I really believe that, I think, I don't recall who it was, it might have been Bill Schaefer from WFTV said, I'm kind of really over this on-the-job training, and I couldn't agree with him more. I really believe that Jose Baez does not possess the skill sets or the experience to carry off this strategy. And they've had him, you know, the state's had him at every turn. They have set him up, and again, I'm going back to the fumble Ruski. I think it's going to happen.
Yep. I agree with you. Blink from blinkoncrime.com. Check out her blog. She's sister blog to Scared Monkeys, and her most recent article, The Fumble Ruski, is one to read. We'll see you next week, ma'am.
Take care, Dana.
Hey,
be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with the psychologist, Dr. Dale Archer. You see Dale on all the cable news shows, Jane Velez Mitchell, Nancy Grace, Fox News, you name it. His website, drdalearcher.com, is there for you to peruse, and we're going to get into the psychology of the Anthonys when we return here on the Dana Pritzer Show. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. This is the Dana Pritzer Show here on Scared Monkeys Radio. It's always a pleasure to have Dr. Dale Archer on the program. He is a psychologist. He has a television show. You see him on all the cable news shows. And in 2012, his new book, Better Than Normal, How What Makes You Different Can Make You Exceptional, will be released by Random House. And I hope to have the doctor on the show to talk about that more. But while we have him on now, we're going to talk about the Anthony case. I know you're shocked to hear that, Doc.
The case that keeps on giving.
Now, I've titled this The Psychology of the Anthonys, and I think instead of, what are we doing, 12-minute segment here, we could probably do a 35-day segment. But let's talk about this, and let's start with the parents, George and Cindy, a much maligned George, now that the trial has started, accused of all sorts of things. Cindy, right from day one, domineering, you name it. Let's talk about how they've been doing so far when it comes to the trial.
Well, I think the first thing you have to realize when you put yourself into the place of the Anthonys is that they're being torn apart.
Yep.
On the one hand, they've lost a granddaughter, which by all accounts meant the world to them. On the other hand, their daughter is being accused of the murder. And for any parent, of course, you want to stand by your child. You want to believe your child. You want to support them. You want to be there for them. And I think that they probably have some suspicions that she was involved. On the other hand, when you weigh it out as a parent, you say, I've got to go with my daughter. I've got to stand there. So a lot of their behavior, I'm willing to give them a pass on.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine anything more difficult as a parent than going through what they're having to go through right now.
What about the allegation of sexual abuse, George, on Casey, that as being the defense and how George has reacted to it? The guest that was just on talked about how George, as a defense witness, I'm sure will get raked over the coals big time, and I'm sure they're trying to get him to snap. But let's talk about that a little bit.
No doubt they're trying to get him to snap, and I think that he's holding up, I guess, as well as can be expected. I don't buy the sexual allegations of abuse at all. I think this is a desperate ploy by the defense in order to try to eke out some type of sympathy for Casey. Because my argument would be, look, this would have come out so long ago had it been real. So I don't buy it. But again, if you think about George and you put him in that situation, as a father, you go, you know what? If that's something that would help my daughter, maybe I would even allow that to stand if I thought it would help her. And I think you saw when that testimony occurred and he was being questioned on that, the look of just being torn in his face. And he denied it without a doubt. But a lot of people say, yeah, well, the way he looked, it meant that he really did it, and that's why he denied it. I think he denied it because it didn't happen, but at the same time he was thinking, wow, if this could help Casey, I would even be willing to allow the world to think bad of me in order to save her if she's really innocent.
That's an interesting perspective. Dr. Dale Archer is here. You check out his webpage at drdalearcher.com. Okay, you and I have talked about this before when we've done shows on the Anthony case. Casey Anthony, narcissistic, the chronic liar. How has she been reacting? Playing to the jury, it's so obvious she's been coached because she's laughing 1 minute when you see the video. As soon as the jury comes in, the bottom lip sticks out. And, you know, was it legitimate when the skull was shown and you saw the reaction, the dry heaves and dabbing at the eyes? Let's finish up our interview with Casey Anthony and the psychology of her and your thoughts.
Okay, first of all, Casey Anthony is a full-on sociopath. She's a pathological liar. She doesn't care about the feelings of others. She only cares how the world relates to her.
Right.
She will lie. She will cheat. She will steal. She will do whatever she wants to do in order to have personal gratification. So that's number one. Number two, early on in the case, she had a stone face. To me, she looked like a poker player sitting at the table, literally no emotion whatsoever. And, I mean, when you think about it, she's playing the poker game of her life because the stakes for her are clearly life and death. But lately, I agree, the coaching has kicked in because all of a sudden the stone face is gone. You're seeing some tears here and there. You're seeing some laughter when she's supposed to laugh. You're seeing some emotion. And, of course, all that is about is having the jury like her a little bit. I mean, she's a very unlikable person, let's face it. But on the other hand, the defense realizes their only chance here is for her to be likable, which is going to bring me to my next recommendation. If I were involved with the defense, I would say, you got to get her on the stand.
Yeah.
And you got to get her on the stand, and you got to at first admit to all the lies. And if I were the psychologist involved, I would say, look, yes, you lied. You've always lied. That's who you are. But that doesn't make you a murderer. So that's the coaching that I would give her if I was putting her up there. But I think unless she can get a little sympathy out of the jury, then she's toast. I mean, she's going to be found guilty. I think that's her only chance.
You know, is this, you know, the sociopath, the lying, a lot of people will say learned behavior. She was brought up that way. The lying has always gone on. So maybe there is some truth to the allegations. Maybe there isn't. Let's talk about that a little bit. When someone is that bad, and it's obvious that she is, with this issue of lying, you know, being a sociopath, narcissistic, etc., has she learned that from her parents?
Well, behavior that you learn as a child becomes your normal in your life. And so when you get older, that becomes the norm. And so if you grow up in a family that lies about everything, then yeah, you learn that. But you can also have pathological liars who grow up in relatively normal families. And, in fact, I've seen them. I've treated them. And you look in their history, and there's nothing there. So you can't say just because she came from that, that that alone made her into the liar. And the other thing that's very important is most liars have a reason for their lies. And if you look at her history and all of the tapes and all of the testimony, everything we have from her, some of these lies just made you want to shake your head and go, what?
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, it does you no good whatsoever. And I'm thinking back, for example, when she said she worked at Universal Studios and brought the detectives there for the interview. Where's the point in that? You're clearly going to get caught. It serves no purpose whatsoever. So there are different types of pathological liars. And liars that grow up in a family of liars typically grow up learning to use a lie to their advantage. But when you go to this stage where it becomes lies just for the sake of lying or you don't even know you're lying, this is really at the far end of the extreme. And I believe in her case that she doesn't know the difference. I don't believe she understands there is really a difference between a lie and the truth. She says whatever she wants when she wants it, and that's it. So she would be the worst of the worst, and I don't think we can blame the upbringing on that. I think it's something that is a deep-rooted part of who she is in terms of the sociopathy, but pathological lying, interestingly, has no known treatment and is really an enigma in terms of the psychiatric nomenclature. I mean, we're not really sure how to classify it and how to treat it.
I agree with you. I think she should take the stand if, from the defense perspective. Will she, in your opinion, take the stand? And how do you think the jury will react to her? Let's assume this is a death penalty decision for that jury when they see somebody as mixed up as Casey is.
Well, I think that what you do is you use the fact that she's mixed up in order to try to gain some sympathy.
Yeah.
So, first thing she has to do is take the stand. Second of all, she has to admit that I'm a pathological liar. I've always been that way. It's a problem that I've always had, but it doesn't make me a killer. And, yes, I'm confused. Yes, I'm mixed up. If she wants to go with the sexual abuse story, then go with that. I mean, they've already put it out there. But she has to understand. She is fighting for two things here. She is fighting, A, to try to get a not guilty verdict, but also, B, not to get the death penalty.
Yeah.
And the only way, in my view, she gets either one of those is to get the jury to like her a touch. Because right now, I don't think they like her at all.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing I've seen in this entire trial that shows me any sliver of sympathy for her. So I that's what she needs to understand, is you're fighting for two things. And I think the only way to do that is really to use the confusion and the pathological lying and say, yeah, that's me, but there's a big stretch, and of course, Jose Baez would be right in there making that point, big stretch between that and being a murderer.
Absolutely. Dr. Dale Archer, clinical psychiatrist, his webpage, drdalearcher.com. Always a pleasure, Doc, and we'll have you back on to talk more about this soon. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dan.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
That's Dr. Dale Archer. You see him on all the cable shows, and he makes a lot of sense. I think Casey should take the stand. Will she? I guess we're going to find out. Pat Brown, criminal profiler, will join us in a minute here on the Dana Pretzer Show as we continue on with our coverage of the Casey Anthony trial. We'll be right back. Okay, we don't have this guest on near enough. She's very popular. She's a criminal profiler, Pat Brown. Click on the link in the show notes to check out her webpage. It's rumored that she also is Cindy Anthony's fashion consultant for the trial. I'm not sure if she is or not. Hi, Pat. How are you?
Hello. Gee, I didn't know that, but she hasn't talked to me lately about what she should wear or what she shouldn't, but...
You know,
always available.
We haven't talked about the Anthony case for a while. The trial's been on for a little bit. The prosecution is supposed to rest tomorrow. The defense will get started. I want to ask this question. I ask all my guests, the last two tonight already. I'm going to ask you, do you think Casey will take the stand?
Well, you know, I did for a while because at a certain point I was thinking to myself, you know, they've really got to, they've got to make the jury feel sorry for her in some way. Because obviously,
yeah,
she's not very likable. And they've already said that the child died in the home. So they've kind of gotten rid of the fact that, you know, she wasn't around when it happened. So you've got to, you've got to do something to make them have some kind of doubt that Casey is as crappy a human being as he's been presented throughout the prosecution. And all I think the defense can hope is that she can cry better than Cindy.
Yeah. What about those tears, Pat? It's obvious that Casey has been coached. Before the jury comes in, she's laughing, she's kibitzing, she's flirting with her lawyers. And as soon as the jury comes in, out goes the bottom lip, the dabbing at the eyes. I've never seen a tear yet, although I've not watched that close. The dry heaves, all that sort of stuff. What do you think about Casey's reaction through the first part of the trial? Has she garnered any sympathy from the jury?
I think, it all depends on who we've got on the jury. And I'm always concerned about juries because I can't get a jury duty. I mean, that's a simple fact. I mean, you don't get a letter in your mailbox that's certified. So you really, your letter doesn't get to you, heck, you don't have to show up. So if you can't figure out how to get a jury duty by just not showing up or by planning something, you wonder what's on the jury. And all you need is a few people on the jury who themselves maybe have personality disorders or emotional problems or soft hearts or whatever that will start sympathizing with Casey. And it is very true that people have a really hard time, and this is not their fault, they have a hard time believing that the person sitting in front of them looking sad is not sad, or that they're crying and they don't have any real feelings behind it. I mean, when we cry, the people who are healthy, that is, not psychopaths, when we cry or feel sad, that's true. But when a psychopath does it, it's an act, and they are, we are unable often to understand that that person can do all of that and just be lying like a dog. So it can be very effective because people just don't have it within them to just sit there going, you're just a lying, I'm going to sit here and watch you just lie and nothing is going to affect me. People have emotions themselves. They tend to connect. And especially people who have troubled lives or more difficulties with their families or have had some tragedy or some accidents in their life, all you do is need to push a few of those buttons and get a couple people saying, maybe she's not as horrible as we've been led to believe. Now we're in trouble.
And pushing buttons, I think, will be important when it comes to the defense. And when George Anthony testifies, they're going to try and get him wound up. They're going to try and get him to snap like he's done in depositions and other places. Your thoughts on his testimony and this whole sexual allegation against him?
Well, I think you're right. I think they're going to try to get him to come across as a cruel, cold, and controlling father. Somebody who Casey would be afraid of. Somebody who is capable of doing something nasty to her. Somebody who she is, will do his bidding if he tells her to do it. So they're going to try to draw that out of him so that the jury starts doubting that, that he's just a nice man who, has been manipulated by his daughter, but in fact, it's the opposite way around. He's a manipulator, and she has just always been essentially his dog. I won't use the other word. But, doing whatever daddy says in a very sick relationship, perhaps indeed he told her to shut up. Maybe he did get rid of the body. Maybe she just went off acting crazy because once she got away from her father, and this was, she couldn't do anything for Kaylee anymore. She just went and just lived that life, that good life that she put on her tattoo because she just hadn't wanted nothing to do with the family anymore. That works pretty well, I think. I think that's a good defense. Go with that, Jose Baez, and send me a check, but I hope it doesn't work.
I think that word you're talking about rhymes with itch, but I'm not sure. Pat Brown is here, criminal profiler Pat Brown. Some are criticizing the prosecution for resting so soon. Some will say, some pundits will come forward and say, they've shown Casey for what she is. They've proven that Kaylee did die. They've proven that there's an obvious credibility issue. They brought on some forensics. But have they actually proven that Casey killed Kaylee?
Well, I think they've done as good a job as they can. I mean, it's one of, again, the problems of the jury system. I think if you had a bunch of professional people sitting in there, profilers, investigators, they would simply say there's no question in our minds that all the evidence links to Casey. There's not a question. And the problem is the longer they keep, going on, the longer the jury starts getting tired of it all and starts thinking you're protesting too much that she did this. So it's a crapshoot, really, and I think they did a good job, and it'll just be now, unfortunately, the defense taking all the work will be will the jury remember what the prosecution says? Because people have very short memories, especially in terms of emotions, and they start seeing something else being presented in front of them, and it's like a ping pong ball, you know? You say, oh, yeah, I think that person is not, I think she's guilty. Oh, now I think she's not guilty. So that's where the defense has an advantage, is they can kind of erase a lot of the stuff the prosecution does and also just confuse a little bit heck out of the jury enough to make them think, well, I'm just not sure anymore. I'm just not sure.
You know,
and we've seen that. I've seen that in, you know, on Facebook and Twitter. People, I've seen people turn and start saying, starting to doubt maybe Casey's guilty. And I was like, oh, God, no, you're starting to fall for it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just hope nobody, I say, on that jury does the same.
I couldn't agree more. And I think the prosecution has done a good job with what they've got. And maybe they're saving some to bring back. I'm not sure, but I think my next question to you, Pat, is the way that this trial has been going. Some have compared it to O.J. Simpson. I don't find that comparison, but maybe Scott Peterson, you know, and maybe Drew Peterson, if that ever goes to trial. But when you look at this and you look at the jury system the way that it is now, and you know, the jurors, although not shown, they know this is all on TV. You got the judge, you got the lawyers, you got Jose, call me Mr. Mistrial Baez, jumping up every 2 seconds. Casey playing for the cameras. I guess Cindy, mouth, I love you to her daughter today. I don't see anything wrong with that, actually. What about that? What about this trial being covered and how it's actually going to affect the result?
I think it does have a horrible effect. I think what we've lost in the courtroom is a thing called decorum, that this is a serious matter, that we don't play games, we don't make up stuff. You're not supposed to be able to fabricate crap. I'm talking about Jose Baez here. You know, you're not supposed to be able to just throw anything out there and see what sticks. This should be done with decorum, and our country has lost that ability through this kind of dog and pony show they always put on with our adversarial system, which I think has gotten totally out of hand. And the trials are going on way too long with a bunch of ludicrous stuff. And add in, as you say, the television, and it just, I think it makes it very difficult, actually, sometimes for the prosecution, with very good evidence, as we saw with the O.J. case, to get a conviction.
Yeah.
All we need is to sort of say a shred of doubt, and you can have 50 pieces of evidence pointing to the person did it. And then you have this one tiny little thing which, you know, for whatever reasons you can't explain, because life is not perfect, but it doesn't really have that much meaning, and yet that the jury jumps on and goes, well, I'm still uncomfortable convicting then. And as I've always said, I just don't understand how we can take a group of people with no education in investigations, no education in science, no education in criminal profiling, and actually those are all criminal profilers who put on the stand, but they've had zero training. And in a very short period of time, they're supposed to become brilliant, brilliant profilers and be able to analyze all the evidence and do that in the face of all these, you know, different experts being thrown at them and people, you know, disagreeing. And in a short few weeks, they're supposed to be essentially PhDs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not capable of doing that. They may have good hearts. They may try real hard. And sometimes you have to give them a lot of credit for using some pretty good logic themselves. And some of them, you know, I look at it and say, well, that person did really do a good job analyzing. But we have to expect it of every single one of those people that shows up in the courtroom and the jury. It's unreasonable. It's ridiculous. And I think we need to do something about our jury system. I think we need to do something about how we run the whole court system.
I agree. I agree. And making a mockery of it the way that the defense has in this case has done nothing for the jury system. You know, when you look at it, and now let's, for my last question for you, Pat Brown's here, criminal profiler, and you see the running of the bulls in the morning where they're running to get their seats in the courtroom and the coverage, and let's talk about Joe and Mary Sixpack Public and their interest in this case. And the people at the courtroom charging for that room to see what's going on, an honest interest. The group on my blog are there because they care and they want to know what's going on. But there's obviously some fruitcakes out there that are watching this and commenting on it and running for that courtroom. What about that? What about how the public reacts to high-profile cases like this?
Well, you know, the circus is in town. It's the modern-day circus, Barnum and Bailey, but in a courtroom. And it's also reality TV all thrown in there, which people just adore. And it's, you know, it's kind of like a bad accident. You can't resist looking at it. Because, it, you know, this case, you know, does have a fascination to it. You cannot ignore the fact that every one of these people involved, especially all of the Anthonys, are just, you know, bizarre, and people just can't resist getting involved in it and finding it fascinating. I know people are watching it from day in and day out, from morning to night, and they say they're not getting anything done because they can't turn away. And, you know, it's kind of, that is a normal human response, and I think that is why our judicial system, recognizing this, has to put some stops on it. They have to make some rules and not allow this to be handled this way. But until our judicial system decides to do that, it's not going to happen. And unfortunately, I think the reason is it's called lawyers, because they make a bloody fortune, you know, elongating these trials, going for appeal after appeal after appeal, and making this a big fat mess. They get paid by the hour. They get paid shabbily, and they couldn't get book deals. Well, if they didn't get television, they wouldn't be so thrilled.
You
know, so there are a lot of cases going on in this country which are handled in a simpler fashion, more focused on the evidence without all this shenanigans. But once the case gets big, there's nothing in place to stop this from, you know, going on this way, and there should be.
You know, we've heard of keeping up with the Kardashians, but I guess now we're putting up with the Anthonys. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Pat Brown. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Nathan.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. That's criminal profiler Pat Brown, and that's it. That's tonight's show. I hope you enjoyed it. Our website is www.scaredmonkeysradio.com. You can check out the show live, pick up podcasts of commentaries, past shows, leave comments, and, of course, the creme de la creme of blogs, the scaredmonkeys.com. Check out the forum. Huge discussion going on about this trial. We'll see you again real soon here on the Dana Pretzer Show.
You've been listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at scaredmonkeysradio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guest websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of scaredmonkeys.com. Thanks for listening.